Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is just creeping up on 9:09 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello Finlinson is with me, as she is every Friday. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
It's a great day. It's Friday.
It is Friday. It is a great day. I was looking at, so my newsman is sick today, Stockton, mm-hmm. and so I have been doing news all morning. Everybody said, "Well, you're a news guy. It's a news station." Yeah, I kind of am a news. I'm a news and commentary guy. Mm-hmm. So our news director, the job specifically is designed for someone who tries to play it down the middle. I mean, that's what a news person tries to do, to try to be objective. They like to use the word unbiased. I don't think there's such thing as unbiased, Mello, because we all,
right,
just who we are, there's some kind of bias in there for what, you know. And so I just say, I think being fair is mm-hmm. really what, you know, you should seek out as a news person. And so today, as I'm going through all the news stories and trying to determine what stories to talk about and stuff on the news, I find myself, all right, I want to make commentary on these things, but I also need to be careful and play it down the middle, because mm-hmm. today I am also a news guy.
But, yeah, that's got to be a hard thing to balance when you're used to telling everybody what you think. Huh?
Yeah, it's true. So anyway, there were two big news stories that kind of broke today. Well, yesterday, the big one, and I know you actually somewhat personal in nature because it was close to you, was a robbery and then a shelter in place by the Santa Clara Ivins police. Now, Mello, I'm not sure if they're related. It seems like it. Logic tells me these two crimes, these two things got to be related, but the police have not said, yeah, this is the guy that robbed the thing. And then, mm-hmm. anyway, let me explain. So yesterday, late morning, it was about 11:30, police were dispatched to a store called Tiendita Luzita. Mm-hmm. It's a Mexican mini market. And a man had just robbed the store. He had brandished a firearm, robbed the store, and then got away, disappeared. Now, some of the folks in the store recognized who it was. So they know who this guy is, but they don't know where he went. Mm-hmm. Approximately 11 to 12 hours later, mm-hmm. Santa Clara Ivins police sent out you got one. Tell us about it.
Right. Yeah, it was just a shelter in place. I didn't see it until the morning because I keep my phone not alerting me in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And so it just said at 12:05 to shelter in place and then to click this little button if you receive the message.
Wow. So
it woke my dad up, though. He got it and accidentally called my sister, and she was freaking out that something was wrong with him. But
yeah, what, that was midnight, you said?
Yeah, 12:05 a.m.
So the crime happened, the robbery happened late morning, and the shelter in place was middle of the night, that same night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could say, well, these are two different things, and it's not the same thing, but it just seems like, Mello, that they're the same.
I know, person. Like somebody maybe saw him. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But
yeah.
How would you, at midnight? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they saw him earlier and it took him a little while to get the alert out. I don't know. And
yeah.
Again, at this point, we're just speculating because we do not have the right answers. If somebody knows actually out there and would like to text me, 467-5842, or you can call at 673-5890. So that was one of the news stories today. The other one, I think, to me, this is a little bit funny. And not what happened funny, but the aftermath. Okay, so last week, it was a week ago today, there was a road rage incident. And reading the reports, basically a dude in a pickup didn't like something a guy in a Camry did.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Camry, most popular car in America.
Yeah, I read that story too. I know what you're talking about now.
So the pickup guy ran the Camry guy off the road, apparently even like running into him, like crashed him off of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And this just happened right down the road here, 700 South Bluff Street. So mm-hmm. just straight south from here, by the Arby's over there. So the dude in the Camry claims he didn't know what he did wrong, and he was
right.
sorry, and he didn't, you know, he felt bad. But this dude's freaking out on him, this other guy.
Yeah.
And so they both get out of their cars, and the one guy, the road rager, gets out of his pickup and starts charging toward the other guy. And the other guy, now, like I said, I haven't seen the video, but the other guy punches him right in the face.
Mm-hmm. The guy in the truck punches the Camry guy in the face.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure the guy charging is the one that got punched. The road rager, you can look it up.
I read it opposite, but yeah. Okay.
Take a look at it. Anyway, when the police showed up to investigate, you have the guy in the Camry, I think, in my mind, the victim here, even if he did do something stupid on the road. We don't know if he did or not, but that's not a reason to, be attacked. But anyway, the guy in the Camry says, well, he came at me and I had to hit him. I had no choice. The guy that was arrested, the guy in the truck, Brett Whitaker is his name, he said, I didn't charge him. No, I didn't crash him out. No, I didn't do any of this stuff. Well, here's the thing, Mello.
Mm-hmm.
We have friends at Collision Cam that have all of it on video, every bit of it. So witnesses said he did charge him. The victim says he was charged, but this guy, no, I didn't charge him. Well, we got cam. We got video. We're going to know what really happened.
Okay, so I have the article up, and I think it's actually opposite. It says, as the Camry driver allegedly rushes towards him, the other motorist said he could hear the suspect yell, I will shoot you. After attempts to calm the man down, the pickup driver said the suspect continued towards him. Oh, he told officers, and he admitted to punching the man charging at him.
So I got it right as far as who punched who, but I just had the cars backwards.
Right, okay, and I saw the video. And
you did see the video? I haven't seen the video.
I watched the video on the collision cam. And so the truck was driving, and the Camry was like, I guess he wanted the lane and the other guy got in front where he wanted to get. And so the Camry driver came up in front of the truck driver and clipped the front of the truck driver with the back of, his car. And that's what caused him to spin out. And then he got mad and chased after him. He, flipped a U-ing and went back and went after him.
Huh.
It was weird.
So,
but the Camry driver was the one that was upset.
And he's the guy that charged the other guy.
He's the guy that charged at
the other guy.
And the guy
in the pickup being charged by this other guy wound up and smacked
him. He punched him because he said, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, no, you're not. And so he was running towards me, just popped him and knocked him out. And then the guy was like, but wait, I didn't do anything. I got punched. I'm the victim. He's like, nope, actually, there were witnesses that heard you say, I'm going to shoot you.
And we have a camera footage of you charging.
Where he was the one driving aggressively, and he's the one that cut off the truck.
Wow. I just, like I said, I just find it funny because everybody, you can lie all you want. And sad to say, my wife was a court clerk for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a little bit jaded about mankind in that job because, first of all, she said everyone is sweet. And not everyone. Most people are sweet and they're trying to just get through life and, mm-hmm. Be happy, whatever. She says, but the default, almost every time when people are accused of something, is to lie. And and I said, well, honey, not everyone does that. And she goes, no, not everyone. But I can tell you 99% of the time when someone is cornered, they lie. And I said, oh, that's so sad. She goes, I know it is. And oftentimes they will lie when you have what you would call, they use this in sports, irrefutable evidence, right? That they did it. They'll still lie.
Right.
And she said it's kind of sad that people default to that. And I agree. And I would hope that, that there's a little bit of integrity left in mankind and that our default is not to lie. But she said it sure seems common, the overwhelming majority of people would rather lie than get in trouble.
Right. And it also makes me think, watching that video, that when you're driving, down Bluff Street or you're driving around town, there are cameras on almost every corner.
Yeah.
So you really should, mind your P's and Q's and drive kindly, because there are going to be videos of whatever happened and you are not going to be able to get out of whatever you think you can get out of. And there's a lot of dash cams lately, too. I want to get a dash cam.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. But I have a question for you. So, most, I don't want to stereotype, but most guys I knew drove like me, pretty aggressive and fast when they were younger, slowed down a little in their middle ages, and then now I'm 58, and honestly, I very rarely drive over the, fast, and I certainly, I'm not cutting in front of people. To me, it's just not worth it anymore,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Women, over, generally speaking, are not that way. Now, I have a daughter. I have two daughters. One is a very conservative driver. Always has been. That's just in her nature. My other daughter is a little bit more of an aggressive driver. So I wanted to ask you, have you seen in women, do they follow the progression like guys, mostly where they're aggressive early and as they get older, they're not as aggressive? Or are they just not aggressive overall and there's some outliers? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I can only speak from like myself and my daughters.
Well, you got you and your kids
right,
and stuff.
Right, my daughters. Yeah. So several of my daughters, I would have to say they learned to drive from me, so they're a little more aggressive. I'd say I'm a little more aggressive of a driver because I am, and that's something I'm actively working on. Like I'm trying to slow it down. I did not put a radar detector in this new car that I have on purpose, and I try to slow it down. But I do like to drive further ahead, so I keep an eye out ahead so that I can avoid where everybody else is going to be stopping. Like if I see like a truck has just pulled out that's big and huge and have rocks in the back, then I'm going to get over ahead of time. And then you didn't pay attention. So you're going to be stuck and I probably won't let you in.
Yeah.
I'm going to just like keep moving forward.
That's kind of frustrating when people don't, you know, and there was this debate here in town about zipper merges and all that stuff.
I don't like that.
They're still talking about that and how people that wait to the last minute, that's actually a good thing. And I'm not buying into that. I've never, if I had the foresight to go, okay, I'm losing a lane, I'm going to move over in time. Mm-hmm. It galls me to then get up there and some dude's like, you know, who just passed me on the right at 40 miles an hour when I'm going 5. And then now he wants to get in front of me. I'm just like,
I know.
I don't want to let you in, dude.
My husband is so patient with people like that. He's like, yeah, it's no big deal. Go ahead. And I'm like, why are you letting them in? Don't let them in. They didn't pay attention. So I'm actually trying to be less aggressive. And then I have another daughter who's so scared of driving. Like she'll try and get me to still pick her up and take her to her friend's house. And she's 21. So it's just, I think it just depends on your personality and if you're a little more aggressive. But I am working on it actively and I'm trying to not be in such a hurry because it really doesn't matter if I get there faster. I just need to leave earlier.
Well, kindness is important. And I have gotten so much better at being kinder while I'm driving than I used to be. But I'm not perfect. I can tell you, again, like I said, the whole merge thing drives me nuts when people don't move over. Especially, you know, if it seems like it was an accident, like that maybe the signage wasn't great and they get up there and they're like, oh crap, you know, I didn't move over. I'm pretty forgiving of that. But, but when I see people egregiously, I love that word, going, hey, screw you, I'm going to pass all you idiots on the right and then I'm going to wedge my way in there. That just galls me.
That's still something I'm working on to be kinder at. I really do want to be a better, more patient person because it's not worth, because I've seen kids like, I'm old now, I'm talking about kids driving, but I'm driving down Bluff Street.
I'm burned, kids.
And this kid in like a little Honda Civic or whatever is zipping in and out and he almost literally caused an accident.
Yeah.
And so I just moved over like two lanes. I'm like, okay, this could be an accident in the front because of the way he is zipping in and out of traffic. So I'm just going to take a step back instead of, you know, like making hand gestures at him.
I know you've gone to big shows at Tuacon. If you remember, it was just a couple of years ago that the traffic after a show was a nightmare. I mean, to get out after a big show, it was you were there a minimum half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They have done a lot better job. It's better than it used to be, way better than it used to be. But one thing I found when I first started going to Tuacon, and I've been here over 30 years now, so I've gone to Tuacon. I don't know how long Tuacon's been open, but I've been to Tuacon for a long time. When I first started going, I'm like, I got to get out of here. Let me out of here. I can't stand it. Get me out. I don't even care anymore now. When the show's over, I stroll to my car. I know there's going to be a wait, so I don't even worry about it. I get in my car. I wait for someone to let me in. When I get in, I let other people in. I just don't even worry about it anymore. Because honestly, I mean, when's the show going to get over? At 10:30 at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really have anywhere you need to be then? I don't. I'm going to go home and go to bed. You know, so I'm not in any hurry.
I do think it should be like, let one car in, go. Let one car in, go. If people would kind of follow that, then everybody could go.
Did you know there was an unwritten rule years ago that it was three? You would let three cars in, and after the third car, you go.
I never heard that.
And that was that for a long time. That was an unwritten rule of the road, and I think a lot of people followed it. I tried to occasionally, especially if it was a really congested area, and you could tell they'd been sitting there a while. And so, I'll let a few in. But, yeah, it was three for a while. I like your idea of one. You know what? Somebody let me in. Now I'm going to let you in.
Exactly.
You know, that's fine. That's
yeah,
fine.
But I'd never heard the three rule. That's a much kinder way. So maybe I could do two.
Yeah, there you go. Split the middle.
Yeah.
Hey, this was on the wire this morning, Mello. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints issued a statement Thursday reinforcing its principles on immigration, emphasizing love, law, and family unity. The church pledged to help those in need regardless of immigration status while adhering to U.S. laws. The church's guidelines advise local leaders to offer basic assistance like food and clothing, avoid involvement in legal matters.
That's good advice.
I am not in church leadership now. I was in the past. I am not currently involved in church leadership, but I'm just curious how this is going to be handled, because I know the church in the past, and I actually have a relative who is married to an illegal immigrant, not a real close relative, but it's someone that I'm familiar with, and that, you know, can you hold a temple recommend if you're an illegal immigrant? Well, yes, you can, actually. Mm-hmm. But aren't you technically breaking the law if you're here illegally? Yeah, kind of. And so you enter a real gray area.
That is such a gray area. Yeah, because some people were brought over by their parents and it wasn't really their choice. Like, there's, you know what I mean? They came with their family when they were little. So, yeah, they're illegal, but there's other rules around, like, children.
But it brings up, I think, a common misconception that's happening right now. I think a lot of people believe, and my sister was telling me that one day in school, one of her, she helps children learn to read. That's that's her job. And one day in school, one of her little Hispanic children didn't show up. And he was there the next day. And my sister was like, what happened? And he didn't speak much English still. But from what she could gather, she said her parents were scared that the ICE was going to come and take him out of the school.
Aww.
And take him back to Mexico.
That's so sad.
That it is sad, but it is also a very, very, very common misconception. It's not true. ICE is not coming and taking families and sending them back to Mexico. ICE is going around taking people who have criminal records, who are illegals, and sending them back to the countries from which they came.
Right.
And I think that, you know, maybe someday it will come down to because technically they're breaking the law. If they're here illegally, they're breaking the law. But right now they're not doing that. And I think, I hope people will understand that the true fact is we're not sending everybody back yet. We're sending the criminals back to where they, and that's why you heard of it. Did you hear about the whole Colombian thing and with President Trump?
No.
So ICE rounded up a bunch of Colombia native criminals and put them on an airplane to go back to Colombia. Well, while the plane's in the air, the Colombian president says, hey, we're not taking them. We don't want them back.
No way.
And so President Trump said, well, here's the deal. And the plane turned around and actually came back. And President Trump said, here's the deal. You will take these people back, or there will be a 25% tariff on all goods coming from Colombia. Now, what does Colombia make?
Coffee.
Yeah, kind of big here. Kind of big there. So, and then President Trump said, oh, it's 25% this week. Next week, it's going to be a 50% tariff on all goods coming from Colombia.
Wow.
And, man, that Colombian president did a 180 as fast as you can say 180. I mean,
really?
He's like, not only did he say, oh, okay, we'll take him. He said, how about I send some of our planes, our presidential planes, and we'll get those people back here ASAP.
Oh, my word. It's such a difference to have, like, some strong leadership that's going to make people listen and not just.
You are so right. You are so right. It's just, the whole story is humorous to me.
Yeah. Did you hear about where they're going to try and have our taxes come more from tariffs and maybe even less from the IRS internal, have it be external?
By the way, I I read some headlines on that, but I haven't gotten into it yet. So we'll have to look at it. I did just get a text. Here we go. And yet, sorry to tell you this, Andy, sorry to tell you this, but you're completely wrong when zipper merge. The entire design of a zipper merge is to fill up both lanes. It's way more efficient to move cars through a narrow section than to just leave the right lane empty.
That's so true. If so you don't have people like me driving.
Here's the deal. This is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, communism on its face, if it was lived properly, would work. If everyone didn't care what their neighbor made, if the doctor and the ditch digger made this, both put their money in it and they both got equal money back, communism would work. Oh. Zipper merges, if everyone did them properly, I agree with the guy. It would work. But what you have is you have a lot of people changing lanes, and then you have these knuckleheads, these hotheads, that zip up the right lane and want to get in front of us.
But maybe to his point, maybe if we were more educated on how the zipper lane works and everybody always stayed in both lanes, so everybody
wasn't
over.
But that's never going to happen. Come on.
I know, because we live in Utah. But it could happen.
It's not Utah. It's everywhere.
Maybe they could have like a campaign that actually shows how to zipper merge.
Perhaps.
Not like yell at your neighbor.
If
it could work.
If zipper merge were done properly, I agree with this text 100%. Yes. I just don't think it is done properly now, and I don't know if it ever will.
Because those in power, the ones in the lane that you don't want to come into, you know, won't let them.
Like I said, I would let them in if I felt like they were there, they weren't trying to take advantage of me.
Right, like on accident. Like they were accidentally in the other lane.
Yeah. The problem I have is I see, and you too, you admit
it. I know, I'm not lying.
I see these people that they go, hey, everybody else is stupid. I'm going to zip past them and get in front of them because my time is more important than your time.
Right, but then there's somebody that's so passive at the front. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, come in. I'm like, don't let them in.
There's a problem with that too, yeah. It's 9:30 on KDXU, zipper merge. Oh, you're getting a phone call, it looks like.
Oh, no, it's not on my line.
Oh, it's not?
Let's see, can grab it.
Let's see if that comes through on my line. Hey, are you calling into the Andy Griffin Show?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. It didn't go through Mello, so yeah, you're live on the air, though, so go ahead.
Okay, I kind of caught your 7:30 when you were talking to our local Republican guy.
Yeah, Jimmy, yep.
And he brought up our junior senators kind of letting us down a little bit.
Yeah,
Mr. Curtis.
Yeah.
And he swore up and down he was a Trump man and he'd support. And now he's backing off on some of his people that we want to get in there on his cabinet. Is that what I understood?
That's pretty much the long and short of it right there, that Curtis said he was a Trump guy. He actually, you know, a couple of years ago was not a Trump guy, but now he's like, no, I'm 100% behind Trump. And then now comes time to confirm, you know, cabinet members, and he's like, In fact, this statement was from him yesterday was, I have more questions than I do answers now after talking with Tulsi Gabbard, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What do you think about Mr. Curtis?
Familiar, don't it?
It sounds like a guy that from Massachusetts that claimed he was from Utah and was our senator for a while. Sounds very familiar.
I think we need to get on the phone and start calling this Curtis guy.
Yeah.
Just so we can look his number up and shake him up a little bit, maybe. Tell him we're not too happy with it because we need.
Well, I think
Gabbard, actually, so
they're in session right now, and I actually talked with Mike Lee last week, and they have a hard time being on the air while they're in session because they are actually in session while we're on the air. But I think when session is over in a few weeks, I think Curtis will come on, and it'd be nice if you guys would call and say, "Hey, tell us about this. Why did you do this?" Because I agree with you.
Okay, thanks, Andy. All right, good Friday.
Thanks for the call. 9:32 on KDXU. Let's check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin, 936 on KDXU. Thanks for tuning in. Now that she'll be home tomorrow, I am going to mention my wife has been out of town for a week. Our son won a trip to Hawaii through his work and asked his mother to go with him, and she went. And I've decided, Mello, and I've lived a sheltered life. I've had one wife for 36 plus years, and I don't want another one. And I've decided I do not like living alone. It sucks.
That's kind of a nice thing to appreciate your wife since she's been gone.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is she's been gone before for other things like girls' camp. She's been a counselor. Mm-hmm. She's gone up to help her dad who suffers from dementia for 4 or 5 days at a time. And but this 8 days in Maui without me is just killing me. I need to man up, suck it up, be a man, right? But it is absolutely just killing me. So
I'm glad she'll be home tomorrow. That'll be nice for both of you.
It will be nice. Yes, it will be nice. I did want to do a quick week in review, and I know you have something you want to share with us as well. Monday we had Jack Lancaster on the show, talked a lot about energy and the fact that President Trump has recognized that things like these giant solar fields and these giant wind farms are not effective, not they're fallacies, basically. Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you're buying a Tesla or another electric vehicle to save the environment. I'm not anti-Tesla. I'm not electric car. I think some of them are really cool. But if you're buying it to save the environment, that's not a good reason. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about what it takes to make one of those, right, your carbon footprint, they always like to say, is going to be actually larger with an electric vehicle than with a hybrid or a combustion vehicle. But President, and same with the windmill. To build those windmills and then to try to dispose of these gigantic, it's just not.
And to maintain them, too.
Yeah, and to maintain mm-hmm. them. Solar farms, same thing. You know, mm-hmm. they talk about, they're worried about the desert and you know, desert tortoise, whatever it is. And then they have these huge, you know, 5,000-acre solar farms. And it's like, oh, come on. Don't mm-hmm. you guys see it?
Grow some food. Yeah.
On Tuesday, we had St. George Police Department with Tiffany Mitchell and Aaron Bergquist were on. We had a lively discussion, a lot of phone calls. Thank you, folks, for getting involved. We talked a lot about some of the different causes of things that happen on the road. We talked about the fact that some things are actually legal, even though we think they're not legal. Did you know, Mello, you can actually change lanes in an intersection? I was taught from, 40 years ago, I was taught you don't change lanes in an intersection. That's illegal. It's actually not.
I didn't know that.
You could actually change. Now, you have to have a proper outlook, and it has to be clear and everything. But if you're in the right lane and you need to change lanes and you're going through a light, an intersection, you could change lanes. It's legal.
I didn't know that.
Perfectly legal. It is not legal, however, to drive a golf cart on the streets.
Oh.
Let me amend that. It is legal if the street is 30 miles an hour or lower.
Okay.
If a street is 35 miles an hour or higher, you cannot drive a golf cart on the road. And it is never legal on any road of any speed limit for someone under the age of 16 to operate a golf cart.
Oh,
never.
Really?
So if you see the 9-year-old driving a golf cart around the neighborhood or a 12-year-old, that's not legal at all, ever. It doesn't matter if they took a safety course or whatever. It's not legal.
Okay. So what about the ATVs? Like if they're driving that to a trail?
That's a gray area. It is technically illegal.
Okay.
But a lot of judges, I know the judge where my wife worked for many years was like, you know what, if you were going from your house to this trail that is legal to ride on, probably not going to throw the book at you. They're probably going to let you slide.
Okay,
but
good to know.
It is technically illegal. Wednesday we had Susan Leonelli from Root for Kids on. Suzanne. Suzanne is retiring next week.
That's crazy.
After 30 years in public service and the last 10 years with Root for Kids. Mm-hmm. And Suzanne also announced she's engaged. Maybe I announced it, but she's engaged to get married. And she had a nice piece of ice on her finger, mm-hmm. a very large piece of ice
very
on her
finger.
Very
happy for her.
And then yesterday, Donia Jessup was on the program. It was so good to have her. She's the mayor of Hilldale, and she went through some hard times. We didn't really talk a lot about some of the hard things that she had to go through, some of the even scary things that mm-hmm. she had to go through. But she was able to extract herself from the FLDS and live a somewhat normal lifestyle, but she didn't want to just, you know, go on without him. She wanted to go back and give back, and she is now the mayor of Hilldale. In fact, she's running for a third term mm-hmm. in November. The first election she won by 3 votes. The next election she won by a landslide. She won by a lot of votes. Mm-hmm. And I think she'll win again.
Yeah, she does a great job. She really cares about people, and people can tell if you care about them.
Oh, that is so true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. You can tell if they're faking it too. Mm-hmm. And she is not a faker. She's the real deal. And Donnie was, I actually got a call last night from a friend of mine. He said, "Hey, I want to listen to the whole show because I only caught like 10 minutes of it. And it was so fascinating hearing Donnie's story." And I said, "Well, you're in luck. We have all of my shows archived online on 890kdxu.com. Just click on the listen button and then on demand." And I know on demand in the movie world means you're going to pay for it. These are not. These are free. Just click on demand and then it'll list all the podcasts. You could actually listen. I think they have ever since Town Square bought, they got rid of the old stuff from before Town Square bought us. But for the last year and a half, every single show is up there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Very fun.
You can listen to it. I got a text, but it's kind of a lengthy one, so I'm going to have to read it during the commercial break and see if it's something we can address a little bit. I do want to talk about a little bit, Mello. This is, I think this is a really cool story. Well, two cool stories. I'm going to play this quote first and see what this sounds, how this sounds to you.
I have the dim idea that you are always on the side of the sinners.
Okay, this is from a religious show, but it's this quote is worth
hearing. The only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future.
Hmm.
The only difference between a saint and a sinner is every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future.
I like that.
We can be forgiven, and I know they're talking religiously, but I think not just in religion, but in life, we can go forward. We don't have to be bound by our past, right?
I completely agree with that. Every day is a new day, and you can make a different decision and do different things and have a different result. I totally agree.
I really feel like this is almost the basis of the American dream. I know there are people out there who said, you know, I was born into poverty, I was born in the ghetto, I was born in whatever racial minority, I can't get out because that's my lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree, and I know people, I have friends who had the same beginning as these people, but rose above it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done.
Right, but that mentality of saying, this is what I am entitled to, then that's why I'm going to make it. They are holding themselves back with that belief.
Yeah, it's completely true. And so I just feel like, look, if you understand that you are not bound by, all you're bound by is how much are you willing to give? How hard are you willing to work to make it happen?
Yeah, and like just speaking from a personal standpoint, like I was a stay-at-home mom for 20 years.
Yeah.
When I got divorced, I had an associate's degree, and I had 5 kids still at home. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I actually got a job. I was making $7.25 an hour when I first got my job, and now I'm making a lot more. And it's only been, 13 years, 10, 12, 13 years. But that's because every day I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I can take care of myself. I'm not going to be dependent on anybody. And I'm the reason that I'm going to be successful.
That is so cool. I love that. And you know, people say, Andy, you're idealistic. Come on. You're overly optimistic. And you know, you are looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. And I'm sorry. You can say that all you want, but I don't believe it's true. I really believe people can make of themselves whatever they want, mm-hmm. if they're willing to work at it.
Right. And my kids say I work too much, but I'm like, I want to work. Like, I was 20 years, like, helping somebody else's dreams come true. Now it's my turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at you now.
Radio. On the radio with Andy Griffin. I'm a lucky girl.
You're a superstar. We got to get a commercial break in. When I come back, I want to talk about, Mello, what you can do for 30 minutes a day. Are you willing? We're just talking about excellence, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be excellent, if you want to improve your life, you'll do this one thing for 30 minutes a day, and it's not exercise. I'm not telling you to exercise. This is the one thing that will make your life excellent.
Love it.
When we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, Hey, welcome back. 9:50 on KDXU. A couple of items of business, and then we'll talk about excellence. Number one, Mello Research and got the number for John Curtis. It is 202-224-5251. That's his official line. It'll say, hey, leave a message for the senator. And yeah, 202-224-5251. Thank you, Mello, for doing that. Mm-hmm. And you also got the website is curtis.senate.gov. So if you want to have your voice be heard, he has expressed concerns with President Trump's cabinet nominees. And, of course, the Senate has to confirm them or he's got to go back to the drawing board. And it's like, are you behind President Trump or no? And I mean, you know, the other item of business is I totally forgot about it, but Mello, I remember I haven't had my wife around for a week, so it's I'm kind of off my game, but gift certificate to Los Tapatios, mm-hmm. $25 at the Los Tapatios Family Mexican Restaurant. And Mello, I'm going to turn your mic down and let you take the calls right now. Let's do caller number 3 to Los Tapatios, $25, so free dinner tonight at Los Tapatios. Well, you don't have to go tonight. It's good for 3 months, so, but I'd go tonight. It sounds pretty good to me. I'm actually working tonight. I'm doing a basketball game, but $25 to Los Tapatios, 673-5890, 673-5890. Mello will take your name, and we'll get this gift card to you. All right, let's talk about it. And Mello is actually handling phone calls right now, so I will go on without her. Let's talk about excellence. This is an article by Paul. Paul is the operator, Paul Rosenberg runs the website called Freeman's Perspective. Freeman's, Freeman's Perspective.com. Freeman's Perspective. .com. And the story that I stumbled on but really love is called 30 Minutes to Excellence. And I was like, well, this is interesting. What does he think will make me more excellent in 30 minutes? Am I doing math problems? Am I exercising more? What is it that I am doing that will help me attain excellence in 30 minutes a day? And okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of it. Excellence is attainable and by every healthy person. I received this lesson from a man I never met named Earl Nightingale. Today, I'm passing it along to you. Earl researched and taught about success for decades, and he took his job very seriously. His work is often forgotten now, but if you can find it, it is definitely worth your time. I had it on cassette tapes, but I suspect it's still available in some format. Miller, are you back with us?
Yeah, we got our winner.
Okay. Who was it?
Rob P.
Way to go, Rob. Way to go, Rob. We'll have that for you here in an envelope over here at Town Square Media, and you can go get dinner. You can go tonight if you want to, mm-hmm. or you can go tomorrow, or you can go Sunday, or whenever it is you want to go. Okay, back to the excellence. This is Paul Rosenberg. He said, if you spend 30 minutes every day learning about one specific subject, but you'll become a legitimate expert in 6 months. Basically, he's saying if you'll read every day, you will become an expert. And so here are some tips by Paul about reading and becoming an expert. Miller, are you?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. I saw the phone ring. Okay, so tip number one, go for quality, not quantity. Forget about reading a certain number of pages per day. Make sure that you understand what you read. That's the only thing that really matters. So pick a good topic that you want to become an expert on, mm-hmm. and then don't rush it. Read it. I know a lot of people, my wife reads really fast. And not to be mean to her, but sometimes she says, I'll say, what was that about? And she's like, well, the gist is this. I'm not sure about the details. And I'm like, for me, I'm not a fast reader. I'm not particularly slow, but I like to digest. I call it digesting what I read. I like to marinate in what I'm reading and just kind of have it be, you know, become part of who I am and what I am by what I'm reading. And that's why it's important to pick good topics. But, you know, are you a fast reader?
I do like to read books, like paper books, but my favorite way to read is Audible. Mm-hmm. So I read several books a month on Audible.
Those are the ones they play for you? Or do you
yeah,
read?
Okay. They play yeah, for me. Audible books. And okay. so I listen to them in my car. I listen to them when I walk in the morning. And I've read quite a few good books just in this last year that, like, really helped me a lot.
Cool. Cool. Tip number two, don't just go through the motions. Stop and back up whenever you must. If you don't understand something you're reading, circle it, look it up, and then go back to it. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it is worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, and we all do this, you read something, you're like, I'm not sure what that's about. Oh, I'm going to go on. And we never go back.
Right. The good thing about Audible, too, is they have the worksheets sometimes that go along with the book. So then you can print those out and work along with the book.
Feels like school a little bit.
I love school.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, always keep paper and pen next to your book. Write down things you need to check. Write down other ideas that come up while reading. Mm-hmm. Write down ideas for using the things you are reading about. I had a friend who was, this was back in college. She was a comedian.
Mm.
And she had, you know, it was funny because she had this notebook. And I'm like, we were in class, like in class. And I don't, maybe it hadn't started or maybe it was just over. But I was like, what is that? She goes, this is my joke book.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mean your joke book. She goes, well, I don't have a formal way of typing. I just want it, when something hits me funny, I write it down in this mm-hmm. book. And I don't write anything else down in this book. Mm-hmm. All I write down is my jokes. And she says, sometimes when, at night when I'm sleeping or when I'm, you know, just woke up or I'm just about to fall asleep, I'll think of something really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I keep this joke book right by my bed. And when something strikes me as funny, I will turn on my little light and I'll write it down and then I'll go back to sleep. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
Okay, another tip. Once you finish a book or magazine or whatever, review your notes and put everything of value into a file. Hang on to it. Don't just throw it out.
Hmm.
That's interesting. I think that too often we are, what do they call it? Participants in everything but masters of nothing. Jack of everything but master of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think life balance is important, but aren't there things out there you really wish you were an expert in? And if there are, this is a way to do it. Read.
Yeah,
read,
I did hear like when you're focusing like a new hobby or a new talent, if you just spend like at least 30 minutes to an hour a day, just every day, and you're consistent about it, then you'll be to the expert level probably by the end of the year because you're going to have put more time into that hobby or that item than anybody else that's working on it part time.
Right, right. And it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. I can't tell you how many different times in my life where I did a little research on something, just a little, you know, half an hour or whatever. And then I arrive in a situation where all these people talk about it, but they haven't really done any research on it. And and I'll tell them what I, you know, I'll spew out some of the stuff I learned. And they're like, wow, I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't take much to be an expert. Yeah. You just have to do a little bit of research.
Let me leave with this quote from Calvin Coolidge about it. He said, press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing in the world is more common than unsuccessful men with talent.
Mm.
Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are the equalizers in life. They're omnipotent.
I love it.
The things that, and you know this is a realtor. Mm-hmm. You know that it's all about persistence.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to give up, right?
Yeah, a lot of people quit, but you just got to keep going every day. A little every day will get you there.
Yeah, that's our lesson for today. Just keep going. And as Paul Rosenberg says, make good choices, hold to them regardless of pressure, and then press on. There's a song, Press On? Carry On, I guess.
Let us all press on.
Oh, let us all press on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's same vein, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I am a jack of many things and not master of too many. I don't know too many people that could beat me in a rock and roll trivia game.
Mm-hmm. Our guest Monday might be able to.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He's well-versed.
We'll find out how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about rock is it's so varied. Like, I may be expert on these 12 bands that I really like, and then he'll talk about some other band that I don't really like that much, and I'm like, I have no idea. But we'll see. Mello, thanks for coming in today. It's been a pleasure. Press on, my friend. We'll be back on Monday.
Thanks.